Will the real you please stand up? Not the world that we want to, not the who we want to be, who we portray to ourselves, not even how we feel about ourselves that we try and show people what there is, but actually the reality of who we are, that if we are a Christ follower, Scripture time and time again has so many statements about the truth about who we are, about who my true selfie really is. And yet so often we fail to live in the freedom and the truth of that reality. You see, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. You'll know how to act. You'll know how to live. Why? Simply because of this. Because what I think affects how I feel, which affects how I behave. Okay? What I think affects how I feel, which affects how I behave. It's true in every aspect of your life. What you think affects how you feel, which affects how you behave, which is why Scripture has so much to say about how we need to be transformed by how the renewing of our mind. Why? Because how we think affects how we feel, which affects how we behave. Last week, Greg spoke to us about us as God's ambassadors, his representative. And this week from Ephesians 2 verse 10, I want to just pick up on the theme of us where Paul tells us that we as Christ followers are God's masterpiece. That we are God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2 verse 10, Paul says, "For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." See, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. I wonder how many of you, as you got yourself ready to come out to church, looked at yourselves in the mirror and just said, "Whoa, God's masterpiece." Darren did, but probably not many of us in truth. I don't see myself as a masterpiece. When I think about my life and my journey and my faith walk with God. But the problem is that what I think affects how I feel, which affects how I behave. So what if we actually began to think of ourselves in the way that God sees us? That what Scripture tells us, that we are God's masterpiece. That I'm God's masterpiece. Now, it hasn't always been that way. Paul, as he writes through to a bunch of Christians in a place called Ephesus, has been talking about the reality of what our lives have been like. And when you read through chapter 2, he says, "As for you," talking to humanity, "as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." You're here for the first time, welcome. We hope you feel happy and cheery. You feel good about yourself. Tells us that we're sinners, that we are dead, like dead men or women walking, and that we're facing God's wrath. It's a good Sunday. It's a happy Sunday. But there's this amazing transition point in verse 4. These amazing words that we see time and time again throughout Scripture. Two words, "but God." But God. This is the reality of what your life would be like outside of God. But God, he says, verse 4. "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." Not that we were moving towards God and looking for him, but actually even when our backs were walking away from God, God opened that door and made that way possible for us to not be dead men walking, but actually, boof, boof, like a defibrillator, brought back to life, made alive. How? In Christ Jesus. And it's a reminder to us that however bleak the picture may appear, that at any moment when God shows up, things can change. However bleak the picture is, that at any point when God shows up, things can change. And his motivation for doing it, why did he do it? Well, he tells us his immense love for us. Because of his great love for us, God stepped from the splendor of heaven into the mess of earth to make us alive in Christ, to give us life in all its fullness, to help us to become who God has intended us to be. He stepped into humanity and he revived us. He breathed life back into us. His life, his spirit, his goodness, his grace. In verse 10, it tells us that we've been created in Christ Jesus. In another version, or if you were to kind of unpick this, it means that we've been created anew in Christ Jesus. We've been created new. That verse, we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Brand new. A new opportunity, a new life. A new heart, a new passion, a new focus, a new perspective, a new purpose. Not because I deserve it, he goes on to tell us. He's made us alive with Christ, even when we're dead in our transgressions and sins. It's by grace that you've been saved. In other words, it's a free gift. God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, I love this, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And he says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Why has he done it? Because of his immense love for us. Nothing, I didn't deserve it, you didn't deserve it, you didn't do it because you earned it. It wasn't like a special treat, a special add-on, because you'd been good. Quite the opposite. But he still stepped into humanity. He still stepped out of the splendor of heaven. He still wanted to pour his grace out on your life and mine. Why? Because of just his immense love for you. He loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us the way that we are. He wants to bring us into the hope and the life that he has for us. It's an act of grace. It's an act of mercy. So I can't brag about it, but I can brag about him. His undeserved favor and kindness and the incomparable riches of his grace. And he goes on to tell us, he says, you are God's masterpiece, God's workmanship. That word masterpiece, workmanship, the Greek word is poioma. And it kind of can be translated into a couple of other things, really. One is that it can mean a beautiful poem. It means a beautiful poem. That our lives are to be a poetic statement of the glory of God. And that as people read us, and watch our lives, that they will see and understand the splendor of the goodness of God. It's what our life should be. It's that song that Casting Crowns wrote, let my life song sing to you. Let it be a poem that sings out of the goodness and the grace of God. Or it can mean a tapestry. Different strands of God's grace that all come together, creating a beautiful work of art. That as people step back and look at what God is doing, they marvel at his workmanship and his masterpiece, seen in you and seen in me. You are with Christ, Paul says, a poetic statement. You're a masterpiece. You're the perfect workmanship of God. And when you believe that, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Yet so often, our minds focus on what I am not rather than what I am. I want to show you a video, one that if you've been around the church a number of years, you may have seen before, but I watched it again this week, and it just fits so perfectly with this truth and this scripture. So I just want you to sit back and allow this to bless you and impact you.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward. Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. this salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at that as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child, a father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's gonna be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was gonna be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's.
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
God don't make junk. God don't make junk. You are God's masterpiece, but not just to hang around on a wall somewhere or in a place somewhere, just to be looked at and to be admired. As God's masterpiece, you were created for the master's purpose. We get this, and it's so powerful in our lives. It changes and transforms the way that we see every single moment, every single opportunity, from the moment that we get up in the morning to the moment that we lay our head on the pillow at night. That in all of history, in all the span of time, God decided that this little slice, this 70 plus years or whatever it is that you or I get on this planet Earth, that God decided that you would serve him best in the places that he puts you. See, God don't make junk and God don't make mistakes. And Paul reminds us that we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. See, life without purpose reduces everything to an experiment. Maybe this job will make me feel fulfilled. Maybe this person will make me feel significant. Well, she didn't, so maybe this one will. Maybe it'll be this thing or this accomplishment. And we search for purpose, but when we have purpose, when we understand our purpose, when we know that we've been created in Christ Jesus to do the work that he's created us to do. Every moment, every day, every conversation, every situation is an opportunity to step into our true selfie and become who it is that he has designed us to be. Who it is that he died on a cross for you to become. It means that there's no better time for you to be born. With the gifts, talents, skills, passions, and personality. This was your time in history to serve the Master and to shine in such a way that as people see you or see him in you and through you, that he might get the glory. The chief end of man is to glorify God and thereafter enjoy him forever. It's not the other way around. We glorify God, and then through that, we enjoy him. It's the appointment to trump all other appointments. It's the opportunity that outdoes any other opportunity. The opportunity today in this moment, tomorrow in the moments that you have, to be his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, to do the work that he's prepared in advance for you to do. So what has he prepared in advance for you to do this week? In your workplace, in your school, in your community, in your family. As we see the news and we hear about the crisis that's going on with the immigrants. What is it that he's calling us to do, that he's calling us towards? I know we have that voice in our heart or in our head that says, yeah, but I'm not, or I can't, or the good news is that we're in good opportunity. There's Gideon, in Judges 6, who, when God comes to him and says that he's going to appoint him as the one that would overthrow the Midianite army, what does he say to God? His response to God was this: what, me? God, you must have got it wrong. Like, my clan, my posse, are like the weakest in all of the people that you could have chosen, and I'm the least in my family. I'm like the most insignificant of insignificants. And yet, if you go on and you read the story, you discover that Gideon leads his people to defeat a massive army. Or Moses in Exodus 3, who didn't believe when God called him to be the one that would lead his people out of 400 years of captivity. What does he say? But God, I'm not very eloquent. How can I possibly go before a great king and tell him that I need to let your people go? But Gideon stepped into what God had for him to do, and he defeated the Midianite army. Moses stepped into what God had for him to do, and he led God's people from 400 years of slavery. And when I stop looking at what I can't do, and I start stepping into what he has called me to do, I discover I have everything I need to do everything he wants me to do. The moment I stop saying no, and I start stepping in and saying, okay, I begin to discover the power of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, his, that is God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. You see, when you know who you are, you will know what to do. And you are God's masterpiece in Christ Jesus, with great works prepared in advance for you to do. It's the greatest appointment you'll ever have. And so I want to encourage you, as God's masterpiece, get about doing the master's business this week. In any and every situation, it's an opportunity to be that poetic statement about the wonder of who God is and his grace. To be that amazing tapestry of the cords of grace that have all been entangled, to do what God is doing in your life and to enable you to be all that you can be. You don't think you can? Great, you're in amazing company. Step into what he has called you to and discover that you have everything that God wants you to do. But it's all about you discovering your true selfie, that you are God's masterpiece, not because of the way that you look, not because of what you have, but because of what he has already done and because of what he has planned for you to do. And his invitation is for us to step into that and enjoy the wonder and the adventure of what that looks like. So let's discover our true selfie. Let's live in the reality of that this week. When you look at yourself in the mirror, tell yourself, I am God's masterpiece. Not with a pride about you, but with a wonder about him. That he would do something like that for me. And that he can use somebody like me. And then we see the day through different lenses.